Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Careful making wishes in a dark, can't be sure when it hit that mark and the sides in the
meantime. I'm just dreaming of tearing you apart. That is hammered out to deep left field. Forget about it. Big fly from Mike Trout, and the Angels have tied this one up at one.
Hey, I'm Trent Rush.
This is Brandon Marsh. Los Angeles Angels and 66ers baseball.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
I'm Troy Hunter Jr.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? It is your boy Johnny Maggs, joined as always with
Daniel Garcia.
And we're back with another edition of the All Angels Podcast. We're finishing up our roundup of the American League West preview show. Finishing up today with the Seattle Mariners. We went through the Astros. We went through the Rangers. We went through the A's.
It was fun. I liked it. Something definitely. Maybe we'll look into doing something like this at the All-Star break and trying to see where everyone's at and stuff like that. But, so like you said, we're pretty much done. I mean, obviously we have the Angels left, and we'll do that with right when we're out in Tempe. This time next week, pretty close to this time next week, depending on when you're listening
we'll
to this.
We'll be getting ready.
I'll be packing my bags.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I'll be probably packing my bags right now. We record this on a Wednesday.
Don't know how much I'm going to sleep on Wednesday.
It's kind of crazy though too, because it's like as grown men are like, oh, it's like, oh great, like a nice time away and just kind of hanging out and just to see baseball in person again. You know, obviously we've been watching the last couple spring training games, but to finally see it in person is going to be really awesome.
Yeah, always a special time of the year for everyone. It's like when you're a kid and you go to Disneyland, and the night before you know you're going to Disneyland, you're just in your bed like your eyes wide open. That's me the day before spring training. Last year, I don't know how much I slept. I don't think I slept at all. But anyhow.
Before or when we were there.
Yeah, exactly. But anyhow, we're wrapping up the AL West preview show. Seattle Mariners are on the docket now. Now, this week, you want to get into the read before we get going?
Yeah, before we almost forgot it last week. Yeah. So, again, a loyal sponsor, MyBookie. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know exactly who MyBookie is. But if you're new, let me tell you about MyBookie. It's a betting site. It's awesome. You can pretty much bet on any sport out there. And right now is a really good time to do it. The NHL playoffs are around. The NBA playoffs are coming up. March Madness and all those tournaments are coming up. And right now, if you deposit whatever you want, use promo code CHAIR, they will double that initial deposit at mybookie.ag. Again, they will double your initial deposit up to $1,000. All you have to do is go to mybookie.ag, put in promo code CHAIR, and then there you go. Free money. Makes the games a lot more interesting. I remember one year, it had to be probably 4 or 5 years ago. I think probably even before MyBookie was even around. But I was in Vegas with a bunch of friends, and at the time, there wasn't a whole lot going on. I went down to the sports book. I bet on a Utah versus Arizona Pac-12 basketball game, just a random, not even in a tournament, just a regular conference play. I've never paid so much attention to a basketball game in my life, but I mean, it's always fun. So again, if you want to do that from the comfort of your home, I definitely suggest going to mybookie.ag. They will double your initial deposit. All you got to do is use promo code CHAIR, mybookie.ag.
Yeah, so go ahead and follow help us by following our sponsors and checking them out. There's no way you can go wrong. Just give them a check out. All right, so let's head into it. Let's talk about it. Dan sat down with Seattle Mariners beat writer.
Well, DC Lumberg, he runs the
podcast.
He's the host of Locked On Mariners. And if you listen to the podcast, obviously before, you know our friend Taylor Blake Ward of Locked On Angels.
Yep.
And big shout out to him. He kind of was the guy that kind of got this all going. So, but yeah, DC Lumberg, he has the Locked On Mariners podcast, and talked to him a little bit about the Mariners and kind of obviously it's a super it's a rebuilding team. I think you and I can both agree on that. I think all the fans can agree on it. But you look at their the roster, there's still some names that
very noticeable names on this team.
I mean, you got Seager, you got, you know, D Gordon, which, you know, we kind of talked about with I talked about with DC is like when the you know, trade deadline comes up and you know, if they're looking to make some kind of move, who would be the guys that would be kind of the name, and D was one of them that he said. So it'd be really interesting to see some of these guys and if they perform really well, how their value will change throughout the year at the trade deadline. But the one thing I notice a lot about Seattle is their minor league system is really, really good. They got I believe it was four or five players in the top 100 for MLB Pipeline. And so obviously their major league team isn't probably what they want, but they do have a lot of minor league help, minor league guys that might come up this year and make some kind of an impact, but definitely will be around for the long haul with Mariners and help with that rebuilding stage they have.
Yeah, right now I'm looking at, you know, their 40-man roster, and there's a lot of youth in here. There's a lot of 1, 2, 3 year experience guys on this roster right now. But when you look at the guys that have been here for a while, you named off D Gordon, you look at Kyle Seager, a guy who is pretty constant, pretty consistent. You got a guy in Daniel Vogelbach, a big guy, DH, who can hit bombs. And then you got those guys who got maybe 2, 3 years of experience here. You got a guy like Malik Smith, who always kind of burns the Angels for whatever reason. Yeah, exactly. Mitch Haniger is a guy who, you know, you look at that name, you're like, okay, I know who these guys are. And then you look at their pitching staff, and that pitching staff, or at least on the 40-man roster, they got a lot of guys to go up. You know, they're going to have to make some decisions. But you got names like Carl Edwards, Marco Gonzalez, Kendall Graveman, Yusei Kikuchi. These are guys who – you look at them and you know who they are.
Yeah, Kikuchi was one of those guys that a lot of people wanted because of, you know, coming crossing over from Japan.
Right.
And now, you know, obviously Seattle had him. Didn't have a great year last year, but still a guy that had a lot of hype coming over only a year ago. But like I was kind of mentioning, you got like a Julio Rodriguez, an outfield prospect. One of their top prospects, only 19 years old. So again, you know, just because the Mariners are down right now doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be down for a long time. But a name that they have that I was really hoping the Angels would kind of take a risk on, but that is Taijuan Walker.
Yeah, I kept hearing that name a lot.
The Mariners gave him, I believe, a roster spot. So I think that was kind of the factor where he wanted to be on a major league roster. I think a lot of teams were interested in him in a minor league deal coming back from Tommy John, but it's going to be interesting to see how he rebounds from that surgery and how he is going to produce during the season. But again, another Justice Sheffield, another pitching prospect they have that they got in the, I believe the from the Yankees and the pitcher's name that they got. He just was on the injury list, and I totally forgot his name. Big Maple.
I'm still lost.
You're gonna kick yourself once you realize. Paxton. Boom.
Oh, John. Paxton. Yeah. The left-hander.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
In that trade, and he was one of the main pieces coming over for that. So it's interesting to see how he's gonna. Again, he's younger. He needs to develop. But you know, the Mariners have a lot of young guys, and that's, you know, obviously we're an Angel podcast, but if you're a Mariners fan, you know, or even enjoy them watching the Mariners, that's something to really watch out, some of the younger guys they have this season.
Justice Sheffield, apparently, I'm on MLB at CBSMLB.com. Justice Sheffield was perfect in his spring debut, so that's an upside. You got to work your way in.
Right, and again, Seattle isn't probably going to be that, you know, last place team in the division, obviously, but just because the Angels have improved, the Houston Astros are who they are.
Rangers have improved.
The A's are a division favorite. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just by kind of default, I think Mariners are probably going to be last place. But it's something where you can see coming if they stay. And again, with Jerry Dipoto, you never know. but if they can hold on to these guys and let them develop and let them come in and produce, you know, in 22, 23, the Mariners might be kind of up on the way. And it'd be really interesting to see as they progress throughout the next couple years.
Yeah, they're a team that you just never know. You get the right mix in there. You get the right, like, you get that core little group of guys who are coming up right now. I'm looking at guys who are with 1-2 year experience, but in 2 years, those guys are clicking, and you add a free agent signing, and who knows where it comes from, and this can be a completely different team now. Something that what JP's or
JC?
JC, I'm sorry.
Or DC, sorry.
DC, yeah, DC.
I mean, all jacked
up. I'm sorry, DC. Something DC had mentioned is from last year, and I have two really good friends who are Mariners fans, like really legit Mariners fans. These two really good friends of mine. And they got off to a kick-ass start last year. And I was quick to tell them, hey, it's April. I think they went like 13-3 or something, just like the Angels 2 years ago.
That's what I really enjoy about baseball is that every team is going to go on a streak.
Right.
But because it is 162 games, the true team kind of comes out over that long period. Like, you know, if that streak happens for the Mariners in midway through the season, no one probably pays any attention to it. But since that streak came out of the box, out of, you know, spring training into the beginning of the year, everyone's like, wow, okay, maybe this team's better than we thought. But yeah, that's what I like about spring training is, like, you can't get lucky. Like, you are who you are because there's 162 teams or 162 games.
Yeah, this is a team that it showed their youth last year. You know,
yeah.
You start off
and
so great.
It'll be the same way this year.
Yeah.
They'll show their youth.
One big signing or one big acquisition for them is Carl Edwards. Carl Edwards Jr., he was a
Cubs.
He was with the Cubs when they won the World Series. He was a guy that they would bring in the 7th, 8th inning. It's crazy to me where he was to what he ended up. He ended up in San Diego last year with an 8.47 ERA. But if he can become the guy that he was in Chicago, he can solidify the back end of that bullpen for the Mariners. And that's a bright spot for him. You got to look for bright spots as, you know, as a team like the Mariners who are rebuilding. You got to look at who they got and look at bright spots. And I think Carl Edwards Jr. to me is a guy who I'm looking for him to kind of be a guy that's a bright spot for the Mariners this year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, we're not trying to like bash on the Mariners, but there's going to be few and far between kind of bright spots, and obviously if you're not looking at the young guys, there's probably not going to be a lot of bright spots, but
no.
You know,
no, there's not.
I really feel this division, whether it be the Astros, whether it be the A's, and even, you know, a far, far shot, the Angels, it's going to come down to who has a better record against the Mariners, just because normally good teams beat up on these, you know, not so good teams. So, you know, I'd be really interested to see when the season is over if the division winner probably has the best record against the Seattle Mariners, just because you have to take advantage of a team like this.
Yeah, and even if they're a team like cellar dwellers in the division, you know, it's just crazy how these teams can kind of ruin your season. You mentioning,
right, yeah,
that can really ruin your season. You got to win. You got to win against teams that you should beat. Especially when you play them, what, 15, 16, 17
say,
times
yeah,
a year?
If you're below 500 against the Mariners, your probably overall record isn't going to be very good.
Right. No, yeah. You got to win these games. You got to be, I figure, at least 5-6 games over 500 against a team like this.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many good teams in the AL this year that are rebuilding have rebuilt and are ready to kind of, you know, jump out there and be competitive, like the Chicago White Sox is a team that I'm really interested in seeing. But you got the Twins, you got the Indians, obviously you got the AL East with the Rays, the Yankees, and even Boston. I mean, if Boston's pitching gets healthy, they're going to be a really hard team to beat. So you have to take advantage of a team like the Mariners where, you know, if it's a 4-game series, you have to pretty much take three out of four. If it's, you know, in the road, it's a little bit harder. So you need a split when it's available. So I think that's going to be a big, big factor of who wins the division is going to be who has the best record against Seattle.
Yeah. It's just like any other Major League Baseball team. Like, teams under 500, you got to take advantage.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to. Scott Service is a manager of the Mariners. This is a guy who was assistant to the general manager for the Angels, what, the year before last year, I believe. So he's a guy who, you know, he does a serviceable job. I think Scott Service is a guy who we don't know much about his coaching ability yet because this is, what, his second season with the Mariners.
Yeah, and that's always a weird part, too. When teams are rebuilding, how good is the manager? We don't know. Just because how good of his parts. And same thing, even when Madden got brought in with the Angels, I was kind of like, oh, that's great, but it's like, it's going to come down to the parts, to the players.
Right.
So same thing with Service. How good is he?
You can't.
Does he get him over to perform? Like, if they're close to 500, I think that's a really good tell for him. That's a really good year for him. But again, it doesn't mean they're competitive in the division by any means. But, you know, if something happens and they're, what, four games below 500, I think that's going to be a really good year for Seattle because of the holes they have and the dependence on young guys that might or might not be ready yet.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this Mariners team as I'm going to go over under on the 70 wins this season.
Wow. So what that puts them at? Seven. So if it's 70, that makes
it 75.
75. Oh, wow. I probably would go under on 75.
Okay. Yeah.
Around 70, I would be like, ooh, maybe, you know, I would see them 71, 72, 73, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
But if I had to put my rent on that, I would probably take the under.
Yeah, definitely. You know, again, we're not trying to bash the Mariners. We're just being 100% honest with the team that they have, the roster that they have, a lot of young guys who have an upside, but they've got to work their way in. It's like learning on the job, learning as you go. There's going to be ups and downs, obviously. But you know, when you're in a division with the Astros and the A's, you're already you
behind
know
the eight ball kind
yeah.
of
the, so and then speak. The Angels and the Rangers improved themselves. Plenty.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And you just kind of sat back and added pieces here and there to fill. I mean, you're gonna have your downsides, and as a Mariner fan, you have to look at it as, okay, well, we got to do what we got to do. We've been there, Angels have been there, but the Angels, as Angel fans looking at the Mariners, again, guys, we need to look at this team as definitely any team that puts out a team on a major league field can beat you at any given day. So the Angels can't look past the Mariners.
No, not at all. I don't think any team. Like I said, the great thing about baseball is that there's 162 games, so yeah, you can lose these games to the Mariners very easily, and it's just going to kind of show who you are. But you have to take advantage of the teams that are not as good as you, and you have to be able to take advantage of teams like the Mariners, teams like you know, the Royals, the teams that are
Tigers.
You know, you have to take advantage of those teams, and you just hope that, you know, at the end of the day, you can kind of break 500 with the really good teams and take advantage of the not so good teams. But it'll be really interesting to see how the division pans out with the record of teams against Seattle.
Yeah, and just to prove a point here, to drive this point even further about teams that are under 500 that you should be beating, the Angels last year, I think, went on a stretch where they got swept by the Baltimore Orioles in Baltimore. Right when the Angels were kind of on the cusp.
And then that was like the 16, 17 inning game that just kind of totally demolished the bullpen. Yeah, yeah. That was like
just
– I think a lot of fans think that was like the turning point of last year where it was like, you know, we can't get healthy. We can't get the right arms in. And it's just –
I think it was the Orioles for sure, and then it was another under 500 team. Might have even been the Tigers. Might have even been the Mariners.
Tigers right after, I think.
Yeah,
I think
we lost a 4-game set to the Orioles, and I want to say we lost a 3-game set to the Tigers. And that just, this is a team, these are teams that we should have beaten, guys, and I think that the Angels, I mean, that proves the point. You lose to these teams and you're behind. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, other teams are winning and you're losing to teams you should be beating. Not only are you losing, you know, in the win-loss column, but it is definitely a momentum burner. Like, it definitely just kills you. You know,
definitely, So, yeah, it's just one of those things where you have to take advantage of these guys. You have to take advantage of when you play teams like this. So, you know, it'll be really interesting to see. I can't wait to see how the season kind of just pans out. But again, we're baseball fans, so this is just anything we talk about the season, it's going
to
be awesome.
One good thing about the Seattle Mariners, and I can attest to this, is they got one of the best ballparks, if not the best ballpark in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, definitely on a bucket list of mine.
Man, I've been there, and I want to go back again. It's a wonderful.
We gotta take a podcast on the road.
It's just a great place.
Tempe.
It's beautiful. I can't even talk more about it. It's just really, if you haven't been there, you need to go check it out. I got some pictures. I'll post them up online show you guys again, but we took the tour. So if you're out there, take the tour before the game. Do yourself a favor. They take you everywhere. I mean, this tour is 100 times better than the Anaheim Stadium tour or Angel Stadium tour. It is phenomenal. They take you into the press box. They take you into the both dugouts. They take you into both clubhouses. Back, behind, everywhere. They take you to every nook and cranny of that stadium, and it's a beautiful stadium. I think it's called T-Mobile Park. When I went the last year, it was Safeco.
Safeco,
but T-Mobile Park, beautiful park. So that's an upside for you Seattle Mariners fans.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing, too, like I guess last thing before we go to the break, will be different this year for Seattle fans and just kind of Angel fans in general will be the not seeing Felix, King yes. Felix on the mound. And for Angel fans, it was kind of like a love-hate relationship. You kind of knew who you definitely knew who he was and you respected who he was, but he was a great pitcher, especially during his prime, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, 3-4 years ago. And it was, you know, it was always great to have that Felix Hernandez and Mike Trout kind of match up. And there was one opening day where Trout took him deep.
I was there.
On the second pitch.
It was, I think it was opening day 2014 or might have been.
But the funny part is, so the next year, I believe, it was up in Safeco. Same thing, same matchup, and Trout takes him deep again. But yeah, that guy has been such a cornerstone for that team for you know, ever since he got brought up when he was I think he was like 20 or
I think he was 20
21 or somewhere around there. And it's gonna be really interesting now he's with the Braves to see him not there, not having that Kings core. Like, if you ever watched the game on when the Angels were up in Seattle, they always had that one section of the ballpark all in yellow, Kings court, and man, it's gonna really suck not seeing him out there, just as a respect kind of deal where he was always really good, and it's just kind of been – it's going to be weird seeing him in a Braves uniform.
I saw his spring debut, and it looked 100% weird. But King Felix, I had the honor of meeting him more than a few times. He played out here in San Bernardino with the 66ers when the 66ers were the Mariners.
Yeah.
That's how I got to know Luis Valbuena and stuff. My brother worked out there. He was like an assistant to the media relations guy. So I got to know Felix when he was younger. And he actually went swimming at my mom and dad's house. Cool story right there. And my mom fixed his pants once. She fixed the piping on his pants for the 66ers because they didn't have anybody. I don't know if they do. They didn't have anybody at the time to fix him. But my mom was a quote-unquote 66er seamstress from like 2003 to 2005. But also met him out in spring training a few times, took pictures with my boys. And he's a great guy. And always in the Mariners hat, always just had that swag, that demeanor that you wanted out of a pitcher, and he still feels like he's got something in the tank, and, you know, hopefully he does well in the National League. We don't have to worry about him now. He can go out and throw perfect games against whoever he wants now. Exactly, I doesn't bother me, but he's a good guy.
20-game winner, that's perfectly fine with us. But
he's a great guy.
It's definitely going to be something that's going to be different for Angel fans and definitely for Seattle fans, but King Felix, man, I mean, he was I always had the biggest respect for him, but it kind of sucks that you know, you like to see kind of like what Trout did, where he was able to, you know, you're thinking theoretically he's going to finish his career with the Angels.
Right.
You would have loved to see something like that happen with Seattle and King Felix.
Right.
But, you know, baseball's a business at the end of the day, and you kind of saw the writing on the wall last year when they gave him that really, really cool farewell in his last start. But, if he makes the Hall of Fame or not, I don't know, but he will always be a Seattle Mariner.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what happens.
That's a good topic of discussion when the time comes. Is he Hall of Fame worthy?
Because, like, you know, his longevity hasn't been great, but, I mean, there was like 3-4 years there where he was just.
Yeah, he was the best pitcher in baseball at
you know,
a point.
Is that enough? Is that the Sandy Koufax where
he,
you know, you like to see a guy do it for, you know, 9-10 years?
Yeah.
Those 4 years of his or 5 years of his were so good. Right. It's like, is that enough? So
also, you got to remember, too, what would get a pitcher in the Hall of Fame 5-10 years ago, the standards have lowered now, definitely, because there's no more 300-game winners. That's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, it's different, but
so,
definitely
we'll see.
Something to see.
We'll see.
But, yeah, he's definitely a great pitcher, and was in his prime, was one of the guys where if you went to a ball game and you saw he was pitching, if you're an Angel fan, you're like,
they got to scrape together some kind of runs.
Yeah,
here.
You hope you get to him early before he settles in, because if he settles in, you're done.
Yeah, he was a dangerous guy. He was a bad man on the mound. But, yeah, good luck to him in Atlanta. So With that being said, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back from the other side of the break, talk a little bit of whatever you guys want. We'll probably jump on Instagram Live.
Definitely talk spring training. Yeah,
yeah, talk some spring training. So we'll be back on the other side of this break.
Hey, what's up? Johnny Catfish here, ambassador for Groom Goon Beard and Body Care. Are you tired of your beard feeling rough and not so fresh? Do yourself a favor and do what I did and check out www.groomgoon.com. Groom Goon carries a variety of beard oils and beard and body soaps that will leave your beard feeling soft and smelling great all day long. Don't just take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. Again, that's www.groomgoon.com. And at checkout, use discount code CATFISHTHEGOON, all one word, CATFISHTHEGOON, and receive 15% off your purchase. Why choose Groom Goon? Well, because your beard deserves it.
This is Hood Vicious. Listen to my show, The Punk Corner, on KJ Epic Radio, every Thursday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
And we are back. So thank you again to our sponsors for everything you guys do for us. You guys who listen to us, follow us on Halo Haven. Go check them out. What does it hurt? Go look. Go see. Go
yeah, check exactly. Out. Exactly.
So spring training, it started. We had a few games.
How disappointed were you Saturday when it got rained out? Like
very.
It's like behind the scenes, we were looking at like, hey, let's, you know, I'll come over here. He'll come over to my house, Johnny, and then we'll watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rain happened. I felt like it was like God's way of saying like, relax. It's just spring training.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was kind of like, come on, guys, stop being such geeks.
Yeah.
I'm a wrestling guy, so don't be marks. Relax. But no, I mean, I was pretty disappointed. I was like, man, what do I do now? I had all this time. I was twiddling my thumbs.
Yeah, you kind of carved out that initial, you know, even if it was only going to be maybe for like the first like 2 hours because of the starters,
right.
You already kind of had that time carved out. Like, I'm going to watch this game. And then, unfortunately, that rain came in, postponed the game. Now they're going to make up for it on, I believe, the 6th.
While we're out
March
there.
March 6th. Yeah, so this is a good time, too, to tell you guys, we will be out in Tempe March 5th. March 5th isn't a game, but we'll be out there that Thursday, and we'll probably be just hanging around the bottom fields and watching practice and all that stuff. But that Friday, the 6th, well, we will be in a surprise to see the Royals and the Angels will be at Tempe Diablo Saturday. I'm trying to think who they're playing. I'm not sure who they're playing, but that will be our tailgate. That will probably be the day where if you're out there, come and find us. We'll probably be the day where we give out most of our stuff. We'll be that Saturday. And then Sunday, we finish off the weekend out in Goodyear to see the Angels play the Reds. And, you know, we're going to try to have good giveaways all week long. We're going to have Red on the podcast at a certain point. We'll probably have a special giveaway that's probably going to be exclusively to here on the podcast. So definitely check that out. And that'll be posted that Sunday we're out there. So I think that's the 8th. So definitely remember that. You're going to want to subscribe. But, yeah, spring training is in full effect, and spring training is going. And how do you feel so far with the Angels?
You know, spring training is spring training to me. And luckily, you know, we haven't had too many. I mean, it's only a few games, but you start hearing about injuries as soon as it starts happening. One was Justin Anderson. Unfortunately, one of our good friends, Brandon Marsh, had a little injury here in spring training. But nothing significant that we've heard of yet that's gonna make or break the Angels.
Right.
But to me, every spring, you know what a good spring training game is? A good spring training game to me is that no one gets hurt. So whether they win by 10 or lose by 10, doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Just no one get hurt, please.
Yeah. So obviously you had, like you said, the Justin Anderson injury, and it's kind of up in the air as far as if he'll be ready for spring or for opening day. It kind of came out and said that they don't think he'll be ready for opening day. And then you had Buttrey. I believe he's going to be throwing a bullpen really soon, but they believe he'll be ready for opening day. And then, like you said, you had the Brandon Marsh diving for a ball on Sunday, you know, I think it was right center field. He went for it. Dive for it. You could tell if you watch the replay, he had a really weird, awkward landing.
Yeah, got up holding his...
Right. And you know, now it's a little bit of a question whether or not he'll be ready for the beginning of the season. I talked to him the day after it happened. He seems to be in good spirits. He doesn't think it's too serious. So, you know, I personally don't expect him to be kind of like a Debbie Downer or something like that. So it's kind of hard to read. But
right.
The fact that he is in good spirits, you know, that's a good sign. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Again, a guy that me personally, I didn't think he'd be in it this year on the Angels, but definitely like kind of a AAA level the majority of the year. And if it delays his season, that's going to really suck for him. But, you know, something to watch out for. You had Julio Teheran got scratched from today's start on Wednesday. Griffin Canning replacing him, but they believe that was just a cramp. He's going to throw a bullpen on Friday. Could get the start as early as Sunday or Monday. So, again, that doesn't seem very, very serious at all. But, you know, spring training is fun. And you know, some of the interesting things coming into spring training that we thought we were going to see, we haven't really seen yet, and I don't know if we will. And one of them is Tommy La Stella playing first base.
Not as of yet, nothing, right? I figured they'd try to get him there as early as he can in spring just to see how he reacts to the position. He played, I think he played a few games last year at the position. Maybe I remember him coming in late in a game.
He came in late because it was literally one of those things where they pitch hit for someone and they didn't have anyone playing first base. So he had to move over and play first. But as of right now, talking to people, he hasn't been working out at all as far as anyone's seen at first base.
It's interesting.
Don't know if that's going to change, but it looks like they are trying to give Matt Theis as many at-bats, as many defensive outs at first base to see if he can be that first baseman that splits time with
Pujols.
And another interesting fact was it might have been that Sunday or that Monday, you had David Fletcher out in
left field.
So that's another possibility where him and Goodwin could platoon, and how do you feel about that?
I don't mind that at all. It gives you that option. Like one of our listeners last week sent a question, it might have been Duncan, where they asked, having Fletcher as the quote-unquote fourth outfielder, or like you said, maybe a rotating guy with Goodwin, that allows the Angels to hold another position player in the infield, Luis Rengifo, who can play shortstop, play second base. You don't worry so much about trying to fend in La Stella. If you have Fletcher out in left field, then La Stella will play second base.
Right.
You know, so it gives you depth at the infield position, and then it also gives you depth in the outfield because Fletcher can come back and forth, no matter, depending on the situation of the game, back and forth. So I like that idea. Fletcher can play anywhere. He's that little super utility guy like Sean Figgins.
Well, that's what Madden kind of it was an interview during the week, and one way he described him was super utility guy. You know, so it'd be interesting to see. And you kind of figured with the Jock Peterson trade and how it didn't go through that they were looking for someone to kind of split time with Goodwin. And the fact that it didn't go through, maybe they are still looking at it. Maybe Fletcher is that guy that can split time and, again, kind of hold that place until Joe gets ready and Joe comes up, whether it be, you know, middle of May, June, July, or whatever it is. Because I'll say this, like, Joe will definitely be up this year.
Yeah,
the biggest
just
question,
depending on when.
Yeah, the biggest question with Joe is going to be when that actually happens. But I definitely think that will change everything. But the Fletcher-Goodwin kind of dynamic in the outfield is going to be really interesting. Again, we're on Facebook Live, or not Facebook
Instagram.
Live, Instagram Live. I forget my social media sometimes. AD Rock 1979 asked, is his arm strong enough for right field? I don't know if they're necessarily looking for... I think they're more looking for the coverage.
I've seen worse arms than Fletcher in the outfield.
Yeah, I mean...
You know.
It's probably not going to be like an elite arm by any means.
No,
but I don't think... Yeah, it's going to be something interesting to see as the season goes on. And maybe he strengthens that arm. But again, I think they're mostly using that for his bat. I mean, he can probably cover enough ground in the outfield or the corner outfield at least to make it respectable.
Right.
But yeah, the arm is going to be kind of an issue.
And really, he's not going to be the guy who you who you look at as being a star right fielder. He's just
right. He's kind of
simply
holding.
Filling in. You know, that's yeah. all it is.
Another question we got from what is it,
Jay Murillo,
27, asked about again Middleton pitch yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday, yeah, it was Tuesday. And asked if has Middleton's velo been released yet. It hasn't been, like, I guess, official release because Tempe Diablo doesn't have a radar gun.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't post miles per hour at the stadium. One of the beat writers, it might have been Jeff Fletcher, asked him about how he felt. And obviously there are, like, personal radar guns from scouts or people that are with the Angels organization. But he kind of had a smirk and he said, no, everything's good. So, like, almost like he knew that his velo was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't know the exact number, and I don't know if people will know the exact number, but it does seem like he was happy with whatever information he did get. So, that'd be interesting to see. And if he pitches maybe in a visitor's park where that does have it, then you'll get, like, an official number. But as far as his first outing yesterday, there's not, like, an official quote-unquote number out there with his velo. But when the subject got brought up, he seemed very happy with whatever information he got. So there's another guy that Angels are going to need in the back end of the bullpen.
Absolutely. He's one of the three-headed monsters.
So, again, we're taking questions from Instagram Live. Another one from Archangel_pins. Again, check them out for pins. Yeah. Angel fans definitely need to do that.
Yes.
Is there a chance they package a couple of extra guys for another pitcher?
I don't think so.
Not now. Definitely. I believe in the future, if they're competitive and the trade deadline comes up, I can definitely see that happening. I don't know if you do that now. You're in spring training. You're kind of already in the middle of spring training, so I don't know how much of that is going to be. I'm not sure how much of that is, I don't know how much of that is, you just kind of wait and see how what you got.
Yeah, right. You know, and also you just can't package somebody because you think it's a good idea or we think it's a good idea. What's a market for what we're going to give them? You know what I mean? What's the market on who we're able to give?
Right.
You're going to give up. I'm going to give you this person and this person. Well, no one's looking for this person and this person, especially right now.
Well, especially if you're looking for that frontline starter.
That's not going to happen right now either.
Prices are high.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, obviously, Clevinger was kind of like the quote-unquote guy during the offseason, but Indians might want to just go into the year and try to figure out what they have competitive-wise, and if they're out of it by the trade deadline, then, yeah, I can definitely see something like that happening. But as of right now, I believe the price will be way too high, mm-hmm. and there's no need to kind of do that if you know,
It's not the right market right now. You wait till July trade deadline. We'll see where teams are, and we'll definitely see the Angels. If they're in it, there'll be players.
Yeah, we got a couple questions, too, about Taylor Ward playing the outfield. Mm. Obviously, he's been a guy that has also been splitting time out there.
Mm.
Again, they're just trying to get him on the field as much as they can and have him be a utility type of guy. They're trying to find a spot for him. You can tell, you know. With Joe obviously being up at some point this year, they have Fletcher out there. They have Goodwin. They have Hermosillo, which is going to be interesting to see how he plays out this year. Barring an injury type of kind of thing, I don't know if he comes up this year at all with the Angels.
I'm not high on Ward. Never really have. I'm on the same boat that you and Taylor Blake Ward were on, where we should have traded him 3 years ago when his value was a little higher. I think we missed a boat on being able to get something for him. And I just don't see how he fits in with the Angels. There's too many people on the depth chart ahead of him where, you know, he's in the same boat with like a Theis kind of, with a Walsh where they're good. And they can be good pieces to have for depth if somebody gets hurt and you need to call somebody up. But to see them be an impactful piece of the team, I just don't see Ward being that guy. And even though he's having a quote-unquote good spring, only like 3 games in, it's still really early in March, and you gotta carry that over. And not saying that he can't, but it's just a little too soon to say he's having a good spring. What are they going to do with him? I just don't see that the Angels have him really in their sights.
Yeah, and I kind of feel, if you're going to look at Ward and Theis, it's kind of weird because I kind of feel those two guys are really kind of not attached at the hip, but you always kind of hear the same story with those guys.
Like, yeah.
They want to try to get them to turn the corner. The Angels want them to develop more or play this position or that position. Theis looks like might be the guy that you know, if you're taking the, if you talk about the two, might be the guy that has the better chance of opening the season.
Yeah, I'm higher on Theis than I am on Ward, 100%.
And Theis can play that corner.
Yeah, he can play third base.
Third base. And, you know, Rendon needs a day off, whatever. You can have that depth. Again, Albert, by all reports, feels really, really good. And if you watch that game on Tuesday, where the first game where the majority of the starters, and we can get into that because that lineup looked really good.
Yeah, dude.
You can notice it in his batting stance. He's more squatted. And if you look back to his St. Louis days, like his MVP days, mm-hmm. I mean, it looked like a lot of times he was like sitting on a chair. You know what I mean? The way he was squatting and how he got his legs underneath him. And as the year's gone on, he's kind of been more and more upright, you know. But this year, I forgot who posted the photo on Twitter, and I wish I could have remembered it, but they kind of put a side-by-side Albert last year and Albert at, you know, the game Tuesday and kind of their stance. And Albert's way more lower and more closer to where he was in the St. Louis. He's not saying that he's going to produce those numbers by any means, but it's kind of a cool sign to see that he's healthy and he has that kind of...
His base at the plate.
Yeah, exactly. And a guy like him, that lower half is so important for him that any kind of production out of him is going to be greatly, greatly appreciated by Angel fans.
Oh, man. Just,
you know, it's going to be a kind of icing on the cake when it comes to him.
I'll take 20 and 75.
Yeah. Oh, and it's funny, though, too, because it's cool to see him. And if he can, I guess we can talk about it right now. That lineup that Tuesday when you had, I believe, who was leading off? Fletcher. I believe Fletcher was leading off. But anyways, I mean, the biggest thing is you had Trout. Yeah, you had Trout, right, too. You had Rendon.
Fletcher, Trout, Rendon.
Otani.
Upton. Then Pujols at the 6-0. Yeah.
That's a good lineup.
Simmons usually would probably bat 7th in that lineup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a really, really good lineup. Now you have kind of different thoughts about, okay, who plays second base, and if LaStella plays second base, does he lead off? Does, you know, or how has that changed? But, man, you look at that 2-3-4 with Trout, Rendon, and Otani. That's a really good three spot. I mean, or three guys in a row. That's going to be something really, really fun to watch.
Absolutely, it's a lineup that is going to produce some runs, and it's just a matter of getting on, and whoever bats behind that one person drives them in. That's it.
Yeah. Who am I looking at here?
There was a question before this one that I felt was.
Oh, about right JC.
There. Yeah.
JC Ramirez. Yeah, I guess that's a good point to bring up. JC Ramirez did get re-signed by the Angels. We haven't talked about it yet, but re-signed by the Angels. Minor league deal. All reports that his velocity's up after his spring training or Tommy John surgery in this spring training. They had him, I believe he said he felt he was at like 95, 96. So
pretty good.
If he's that guy, kind of like a Pena. Mm-hmm. Where you can put him in the bullpen, and then if he needs to make a spot start, can do that. If he can be productive and kind of be what he was in, what was that,
2017.
If he can be that good 4-5 guy, even maybe the 6th guy once Otani gets back, that'd be a really cool thing to see. That'd be a really cool thing to see, especially if he gets velocity up and gets fully healed from that Tommy John surgery and make his way back
to the fact that he can be a legit starter, and he can be a legit guy to come out of the bullpen and get you outs, is a very good thing to have in his case, trying to make his quote-unquote comeback.
Yeah, another guy on here talked about Mickey Callaway. His approach came out in, obviously during spring training about how he wants guys to throw strikes. And, you know, for the most part, a lot of these starting pitchers, granted, again, it's spring training, but a lot of these starters, Bundy, Griffin Canning today has come out and looked really good in their two innings of work. And even like today, if you look at Canning and they played the Dodgers, I mean, he's, again, it's two innings, but still he's going against, in those two innings, a clean inning, you know, a three up, three down in both innings. You had Betts, Muncie, Bellinger, Pollock, Smith, and Lux. I mean, those are guys.
Those are
MLB caliber guys. You have an MVP. You have two MVPs in there between Bellinger and Betts. So that's always cool to see that, okay, cool, you know, he's able to get these guys out. And I think a bigger part with Griffin is the fact that he got shut down last year with an injury. How did you respond?
Right.
How many innings does he get during the spring? Right. I think is a better kind of question.
What's important? What stands out to me in today's start with Canning, and you can put this point to any pitcher on the Angels starting staff, is the fact that in one of the innings he threw 7 pitches. Okay, yeah. The limited pitches per inning is obviously going to make you pitch longer in the game. So if you can have an inning where you throw 7 pitches and then the next thing you throw 12, and then let's say in one inning you struggle a bit and you throw 23, it's no big deal. You're still in it for the long haul. That's right. what you've got to
because of the beginning innings, you kind of got ahead of the curve.
Build on fast, build on quick, get in, throw strikes and work to your defense, especially with the Angels defense now on the left-handed side, or actually up the middle. It's looking good. You got Rendon, you got Simmons, you got Trout out there in center field, you got a guy in Fletcher at second base that can turn it. Pujols, you know, even at his age, is still an elite first baseman. I think he's got great hands at first base. Question marks, obviously, are left field, you know, because of Upton, you know. But I think a lot of what Upton's inabilities in the last couple of years was his legs, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully he feels better this year.
Well, that's kind of the big deal, too, is like, how does Albert progress through the season? Because, yeah, like we said, it's great that he seems like to have his legs underneath him now, but hopefully if Theisk is able to turn a corner, they can platoon him more and keep kind of him more fresh and not playing, you know, 90 games or whatever at first base. Like, I think a really good thing with Albert would be if he plays maybe, what, 60 games maybe at first, 50 games at first, and obviously Ohtani starting the season is going to be the exclusive DH, so that's right. That's going to put a lot of miles on Albert. But once he starts pitching and Ohtani's taken out of the lineup, Albert can start DHing and probably keeping his legs a little more
fresh. Yeah, fresh, and getting a guy like Dice or Walsh, who knows? They still got a whole month of spring training left to kind of prove themselves right now.
Right.
But either way, I think Albert Pujols will be fine this year. I think he'll be more rested, like you said, because of Ohtani eventually coming back and spelling him at first base. You know, you'll have a guy like Dice stepping in there, and Pujols will sit back and kind of do his thing at the DH position.
Yeah, and kind of going back to Tuesday's game, the quote-unquote varsity team, as Madden likes to say.
Varsity.
Yes. It was cool. I mean, seeing, again, in spring training, so I don't want to get too excited, but Rendon going 2-for-2 as his Angel debut, that was cool. And I think as Angel fans, this is going to be something different this year. As far as having Rendon with Trout back-to-back, however they feel they need to put the lineup together, I think it's going to be really, really cool. And Rendon didn't waste any time getting a base hit, getting 2 base hits, getting on base twice for his 2 at-bats.
He's just a guy that knows how to hit. His approach at the plate, me being a baseball guy my whole life, being a baseball coach, you know, I know at the high school level, but the approach that he takes at the plate of, you know, he goes up there and he's aggressive, but he's also very smart about his aggressiveness. And you can tell when there's 2 strikes on him, he shortens up the swing, goes right center field approach. He does what he has to do to get a job done, you know, and by making productive outs. When I mean productive outs is there's no outs and there's a runner at second. He's got 2 strikes on him. He knows, I'm going to push this ball to the right side any way possible to get the guy from second over to third. Stuff like that. If you make productive outs or you hit a fly ball that deep enough to the right part of the field to get the runner, to advance the runner over for the next guy, productive outs. But it's not even just that, man. He is clutch. Even his time in Washington, clutch hit after clutch hit. We saw it in the playoffs this year. I expect the same with the Angels this year. A clutch guy. And what puts it over the top for me with Rendon, not just his offense, is his defense. Just equally as good. So I'm excited.
No, Rendon's going to be – he has very – and Jose Mota, previous guest on the All Angels podcast, go back and listen, mentioned it during the game. He just has, like, very quiet hands. He doesn't look like he's struggling or he's, you know, guessing and guessing totally wrong. He just has a very simple, quiet approach to the plate, and just seems like
he's not nervous.
Yeah, it's just like
the pressure's not big.
You know, I don't, you know, again, these are elite players, but you wonder if he's going to feel pressure trying to make an impression on a new team.
And, I don't think so.
And validate
I think he cares,
this huge contract. Yeah. But, you know, at least for the first start of the spring, that was not even even close. And that's really cool to see, because I really do think Rendon's going to be a really, really good piece for the Angels in the future. And I think he's going to win the Angels a couple of games on his own, whether it be
a home run that he hits.
Like you said, move a guy over in a big position, or, you know, come up the bat with two outs and maybe get a guy home that was on second or something like that with a double. You know, he's kind of famous for getting those doubles and stuff like that. So.
According to MLB Network, the Angels have the best player in baseball, the number one ball player in baseball, and the number six player in baseball in Rendon.
God, you got to hope the pitching holds up then.
I'm telling you, dude, that's what it's going to boil down to. And I don't even think that the pitching staff needs to say that they win. You need to have two guys that win more than 15 games. No, to me, I think the staff just needs to stay healthy.
Keep it close.
Stay competitive. And keep us there for the trade deadline. And if they're there, I fully expect the Angels to make a move.
Oh, definitely. Like if they are, God, I don't want to put a number, but if they're within like two or three games of a wild card, I can totally see them making a move to get, let's just say
a Clevinger.
Let's just say Indians are out of it and they trade Lindor, and they're just trying to kind of rebuild their farm and get relief money wise. That'd be a great pickup, but it's kind of interesting to see how every team is kind of shaping out now that spring training. I mean, you got the Yankees having a huge blow with Severino needing Tommy John surgery.
That's crucial, man.
So now, you know, they kind of fall back to earth a little bit. But
That makes them contenders for the same thing the Angels would be contending for,
at the
trade deadline.
Well, I think they kind of would have been that guy anyway.
Well, absolutely. It's the Yankees, but makes them even more of a threat to pull off a deal for a frontline guy.
Yeah, exactly. But it's fun. It's spring training. It's fun to watch. Again, I wouldn't get too crazy as far as wins and losses. Someone asked me before on Twitter, at @Halo_Haven, like kind of what you thought about certain games, and it's like a spring training. Mm-hmm. You know, the wins don't mean a whole lot, if anything at all. You like to see guys be comfortable on the plate, and kind of like, you know, the Angels were 21-14 in spring training in 2017. So I mean, that's a really good record. And then you fast forward to the actual season itself, and they were below 500. So you like to see guys get comfortable, get up there. But you said it earlier in the podcast, you just want to see guys get out there, get their work done, and get off.
Don't get hurt. A good spring training game is
guys that can walk off the field and not be hurt and be perfectly fine.
Get a few at bats and get a few plays out there in the field. Don't get hurt.
Exactly. You want to see guys go left and right and make moves and stuff like that, but you don't need them.
Don't dive.
Yeah, Brandon. Sorry, Brandon.
Well, Brandon's a guy who's trying to earn his spot right now. So
he's a young guy.
But like Trout, Rendon, Pujols, they don't need to do all this. Just stay healthy. And go out there and have fun and, you know, progress. Progression is a key for spring training. You could win by 10, lose by 10. Doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was saying before. It's like, okay, you can have the quote-unquote varsity team out there, and they can be up 5 runs, and they can get out in the fifth. But if you lose, you know, 8-6, that's not on the – I mean, the varsity team looked great, but it's just kind of maybe the young guys they use and stuff like that is a reason why. But, you know, it's all kind of crazy because same in an opposite way, where if the starters don't do great and they're down 3-0 and they come out, and then all of a sudden the young guys make a great comeback and now they win 5-3 or 5-4 or whatever it is, you know, that's great too. But it doesn't show what the team's going to be really in the season. But, you know, either way, it's fun to kind of see baseball again on the TV.
It's fun to see the young guys too that you normally wouldn't see either. Guys who are at the double A level.
You see the Jordan Adams. You see
Jeremiah Jackson.
Even like Taylor Ward.
Rojas.
Taylor Ward hit a home run, and that's really cool. You see, who was it, Levan Soto today hit a home run.
Three-run home run or two-run home run.
And he played, you know, over 150 games, I think. And, yeah. and he had like one home run in that whole span. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he hits home run now. So that's cool. And just kind of see guys progress. And I think that's a lot of fun. I think spring training is fun watching guys progress and seeing guys do what they can and just try to earn their spot, whether it be show that they can make it in Triple A or show that they can make it in Double A. It's just these younger guys that are really going out there showing the Angels organization that they can be serious players, whether it be now or in a couple of years. But that's always a fun part of spring training.
Absolutely. So, I mean, not much to talk about other than this pre-spring training games. We don't have stats and numbers for you like we would during the regular season.
No, but it's, rundown, I mean,
but it's fun.
At least baseball's back.
Yes.
I think that's the biggest point. At least baseball's back and you're able to turn on a radio, turn on your phone,
TV.
Turn on your TV and be able to see these guys, you know, and see them, you know, get a double, rob a base hit, or, you know, stuff like that is always fun. And so far, so good. So far, no major catastrophic injuries. Obviously, we have the Justin Anderson injury we talked about earlier that might delay his beginning of the year. But, you know, like I said before, as long as the Angels kind of avoid those, you know, 2, 3, 4 months kind of injury kind of deal, I think, that, you know, it'd be really interesting to see how the season plays out.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's right around the corner, guys. And speaking of right around the corner, again, we mentioned it earlier in the podcast, we'll be in Tempe, Arizona for spring training starting March the 5th. All the way in through the 9th. Be on the lookout for us posting where we're going to be, exactly what we're doing, and how you can get a hold of us to say what's up. We're working on trying to lay that out for you guys.
Oh, yeah. And we're definitely, and if you guys have been listening to us for the past year, first of all, thank you.
Yes.
Second of all, you saw or heard last year that we had like a fan kind of segment in that podcast when we were out in Arizona, and we're definitely trying to do the same thing this year. So if you guys are out in Arizona, find us. We will be posting, you know, a lot of stuff on our Instagram and on our Twitter at @Halo_Haven. You know, we're here, we're gonna be here, or even, you know, we're gonna be at Baseballism, or we're gonna be at Top or whatever, you know what I mean? So definitely looking forward to that kind of stuff and getting your guys' opinion on the Angels in spring training, and we could put it on the podcast, make it our own special episode. So if you happen to be out there that weekend, and we've already got some response on Instagram saying that they are, definitely come up to us, talk to us. We want to hear what you guys think. We're going to put it on the podcast, and not to mention we're going to have giveaways. So definitely, if you guys are going to be out there that weekend, make it a point to set up your alerts. Set up an alert on your Instagram and on your Twitter, because, you know, we'll be out in section whatever, 203 or whatever, how the sections work out, and then come on over, and then, you know, a lot of our giveaways are going to be first come, first serve, so you definitely want to get that notification and know exactly when we're doing those.
Absolutely. So if you guys want your chance to get your hands on some giveaways or be on the podcast or shoot the breeze with us,
we're definitely trying to get stuff signed while we're out there for guys that we know, whether it be like a Brandon Marsh or Joe Adell. Like, we're definitely trying to get out there and try to get things signed for you guys and have some kind of meetup that day as far as a part of a giveaway and meet people that listen to it to the podcast, because it's absolutely awesome.
Last year we were out there, we were having people come right up to us, and that's what we want
on
again.
On the bottom field,
come right up to us and talk to us and get on the podcast. And whether we talk about why you come to spring training or what you think of the 2020 Angels, it doesn't matter. Talk to us. We have a lot of fun. We love to interact. If you guys know us here at Halo Haven, man, we interact with you guys, and that's the best part. I think that's the best part of everything. So
again, so again, just, you can either reach us at @Halo_Haven. Tell us how we're doing. We ask for you Apple users, rate, review, subscribe on Apple iTunes. Help us spread the word and write a review, 5 stars. And by that, you will help other Angel fans trying to find a podcast coming into the season. It'll pop up as soon as they search it. So we need your help for that. Kind of moving forward, you know, the next week, obviously we'll be in spring training next week. But Saturday, we will have an interview. This coming Saturday, I will have my interview with Victor Rojas, voice of the Angels. And if you're an Angel fan, you exactly know who that is. That'll come out Saturday. We will have a podcast probably Wednesday before we head out there, and then we'll have our spring training
super show.
We're planning to have Red on, Bollinger for MLB.com. Talk about Angels spring training. He's been out there this whole time, so he knows more than anybody, at least more than any of us, about what's going on out there. So we'll definitely have him on. Hopefully have him in studio. That's the plan, and but we'll see how it goes. But that's kind of the week or so moving forward. Again, Victor Rojas Saturday. You know, something on Wednesday, or I'm trying to work out a guest, and then us, you know, recording during the weekend and then being posted on Sunday morning. So
yeah, with that Gooby interview or with that Victor interview, that makes pretty much everybody on the TV side that we see Victor.
Try.
Yeah, we've got Victor, we got Jose, we got Gooby. So, you know, there's a few guys, obviously, that we can't, you know, we try our best, but, well, you guys should get Roger Lodge on this.
Only if Chris shows up. We're not Roger.
No comment on the Roger Lodge.
That's Chris's guy. Give me Gooby and Victor 10 times over Roger.
Yeah. Oh, no. Dude, Jose, Victor, Gooby, 100 times over. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. So.
And the best part is too. Once we get back from spring training, there's like 2 weeks left until the season starts.
Yeah.
So we're kind of we're planning it out ahead of time, but we will have like a prediction show for we get a lot of guys. Oh, what do you think about the record? Blah blah blah. That will be the time where we predict
try our best.
It's gonna be so it's gonna be so horrible.
Yeah, and, I know.
Yeah, that's when we'll do our predictions, quote unquote predictions of the season. We'll watch opening day in Houston, and then mm-hmm. we'll probably come back the next day after that and have our podcast on that Friday, just kind of to react to opening day, and then we will be out on opening day.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my tickets already.
I haven't, but I'm going to be out there. There's no way I'm not.
So,
no, I'm not going to be
out there. But definitely keep a track out. We're kind of thinking about when the bus will be out. It won't be opening day. That Saturday afterwards, we got to get with Chris, but that might be a better chance at it. So. Yeah. Again, follow us on Halo_Haven on Twitter and on Instagram will be the best time to do it.
Stop it, Tasmania. Please stop.
How many times do you think the Astros will get hit by pitches? I don't know. Whatever.
Nah.
What's the average? What's the MLB average? Again, kind of going back to last week, I don't think you want to put a guy on base when you have someone like a Springer or an Altuve come up to bat or a Bregman. Like, they're still good.
Yeah.
You don't want their solo home runs all of a sudden turn into a two-run jack.
I'm honestly kind of over all that. I'm just really just now focused on the season getting started. No,
I am completely agree with you.
On so that. With that being said, guys, that's going to wrap up our show for the day. Stay tuned to all of our social media posts. And if you follow us, obviously, on Spreaker, on Spotify, iHeart, Apple, Google, get that notification set up. You'll know what we're doing and when everything comes out. So with that being said, we're going to wrap it up for the day. Thank you to everybody on Instagram Live. Thank you to our sponsors. I am Johnny Maggs.
I am Dan Garcia.
And you've listened to another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.